Welcome to A Safe Place, a podcast where we discuss school gun violence and how to keep kids safe in schools. I am your host, Louis Aponte, and I am the author of two upcoming books. One is called A Safe Place, Imagining Schools Without Gun Violence, and the other is The Ultimate U.S. School Shooting Reference Guide. Thank you for joining me. I am honored to have you with me. So today is episode number 5 of A Safe Place, and I am excited to share with you some great news that I heard yesterday. Last year, I wrote an article about updating historical reports on school shootings in order to keep kids safe in schools. And yesterday, I learned that that article has been officially published in Education. So for those of you that may not be familiar with that publication, this is an education journal that has been published continuously for more than 142 years. So as you can imagine, I'm ecstatic. So why is this significant? Well, aside from the amazing feeling of being published in a respected and peer-reviewed journal, I am hoping that this will get the attention of our government and law enforcement agencies so that they can work together with our communities in a more informed way by evaluating the way they universally define what a school shooting is. Now, I know that sounds like a very simple distinction, but apparently it's not. That's why I put this together. So, for example, in my article, I point out how the FBI, the U.S. Secret Service, the U.S. Department of Education, and the U.S. Government Accountability Office all have conflicting definitions of how they define a school shooting. Now, as a result, their conclusions are completely different as far as both the causes as well as the solutions to gun violence in schools. So more importantly, I pray that this will make our government institutions realize that there is a desperate need for a well-funded, independent, nonpartisan, and please let me say that again, nonpartisan and comprehensive study in order to have a more clear understanding of the overall dilemma of gun violence in schools. I realize that's a mouthful, but please stay with me. Thank you. So on one side, they would like for you to believe that the cause of so much gun violence in the United States is because of violent video games, violent movies, and music. And yet, what do most first world countries such as Japan, Canada, the UK, and Australia all have in common? You guessed it. They all play the same video games, they watch the same movies, and they listen to the same music. So how is it that they only have a tiny small sliver of gun violence that we have in our own country? So in addition to holding press conferences that slam these industries that have no proven direct link to gun violence in schools, and when I make that claim, let me clarify. There has never been a peer-reviewed, in-depth study, to my knowledge anyways, and feel free to prove me wrong, that has confirmed that these forms of entertainment are directly linked to gun violence in schools. So instead, they passed laws such as banning bump stocks. Banning what? So if you don't know what a bump stock is, it's a device that can be attached to a semi-automatic rifle. So semi-automatic rifle means when you pull the trigger once, one round goes out. And so when you attach it to a semi-automatic, it allows it to fire bullets more rapidly like a fully automatic. Now, fully automatic is when you pull the trigger, it fires multiple bullets at once. It goes... So in the past 30 years, from January 1st, 1990 to January 1st, 2020, do you know how many school shootings that have been the result of these dangerous bump stocks? Wait for it. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Nada. On the other side, well, I love you guys, but I have to be fair and impartial on this topic, because otherwise, how do we ever expect to move forward together? And I say this with the utmost empathy and respect, especially after what happened at my old high school in Marjory Stoneman Douglas in Parkland. And that was 5 years ago. Wow, 5 years ago. I can't believe it's been 5 years already. But it is believed that if you ban a certain type of firearm, then mass shootings may never happen again. Now, please allow me to respectfully prove to you why this is a misguided belief. It might limit the ease in which someone can commit a mass shooting, but it certainly will not prevent one. For instance, an AR-15 or something similar to this weapon was used at my old high school at Marjory Stoneman Douglas. It was used at Rancho Tahoma Elementary School and Santa Monica College, three instances of mass shootings at schools. However, it was not used in mass shootings at Santa Fe High School, El Centro College, Umpqua Community College, Marysville Pilchuck High School, Sandy Hook Elementary School, Oikos University, Northern Illinois University, Youth with a Mission Christian Missionary School, Virginia Tech University, West Nickel Mines Amish School Christian Elementary Middle School, Red Lake High School, University of Arizona Nursing College, Columbine High School, Thurston High School, Westside Middle School, Lyndhurst High School, or the University of Iowa. I know that was a lot and everything. I just wanted to simply demonstrate how most of these mass shootings have not been committed by an AR-15 or something similar. So I will admit that there is a very strong argument against any weapon that might be so dangerous or magazine capacity that causes the good guys with the guns to stand by while innocent and defenseless kids and teachers are being murdered. So maybe it should be banned. However, history would suggest that it is naive to believe that banning any single firearm from civilians will prevent another Parkland, another Sandy Hook, or another Columbine. This is the problem and danger of not universally defining what a school shooting is and not having a well-funded, independent, nonpartisan, and comprehensive study on school gun violence. I mean, how do we expect to ever hope to solve a problem without having all the facts? You know, and this is what I hope my article on education will achieve. So in the article, I emphasize that this information is not to be used as justification to create a single universal approach to solving gun violence across the nation. That would be crazy, because I recognize that every community has their own unique needs. You know, it's just like a public library. Some of you may already know that I am an information services librarian at a public library. I've worked in libraries for over 10 years, both in Florida as well as Virginia, and you cannot have the same services and the same programs in every library. While back in Florida, I worked in a library where the community loved to check out all the latest movies, and they mostly checked out DVDs. Whereas another library, they're really big on reading, and they want to read everything that comes out on the New York Times bestseller list. So likewise, some strategies to reduce gun violence may work in some regions of the country, while others are going to require a more customized approach, you know, based upon what their individual needs are. No matter what approach a community chooses, it should always be based on ongoing, objective, and research-driven data, whereas universal or quick fixes should be avoided at all times. Now, I would love to hear your thoughts on this topic. Even if you don't agree with me, totally fine. You know, I recognize that you have lots of options to choose from, and I am honored you come to hang out with me. You know, it's a privilege. So if you would like to receive updates on when both of my books will be published, just go ahead and follow me on this podcast and make sure to sign up for my newsletter on asafeplacebook.com. So until then, we'll see you in the next episode. One Nation.